Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is actually brought to you by Telstra and Navman this week. Now, for so many people, this Friday will be the day that they finally upgrade their iPhone or just upgrade their smartphone. Maybe they're moving to the new iPhone 13, which does go on sale on Friday, anywhere you can go and find smartphones. But for many people, you may be wondering whether you should be getting it through Telstra. And I'll tell you a little bit about why I'm a Telstra customer. Yes, I'm a paying Telstra customer, and there's a number of reasons for that. Now, I encourage everybody in all of their research as they're looking to pick up their new iPhone 13 or how they order their iPhone 13. What are you going to do with that phone? I mean, the new iPhone 13 is essentially a powerhouse. When you think about what the iPhone 13 Pro can do, it's got huge capabilities in terms of video content that it can capture and how it can actually be probably one of the ultimate smartphones, obviously up against big brands like Samsung and others. But the advantage that is always pronounced in all new smartphones today is 5G. And I encourage you to do your own research, but I've done a little bit of my own. Telstra covers 75% of the population in 5G. They've essentially blanketed most of the people that live in the country with 5G. And why that's important is because when you are sharing large video files, when you are hosting FaceTime calls, 5G matters. 5G can be the difference between a smooth and perfect video call. And it can also be the difference between actually sharing that video to friends, family, or even coworkers at the speed of light. Maybe not exactly the speed of light, but you see where I'm coming from. Now, when I have done some comparisons, I love to do comparisons. I get the coverage maps open and I look not just in capital cities because, hey, it's easy to put coverage in capital cities. But I start to look at places like Dubbo, Mudgee, and those regional areas that, you know what, once lockdowns eased a little bit, that's the places I'm going to. And I look for where I'm going to find 5G. And guess what? In most of those regional areas, I'm only going to get 5G if I'm with Telstra. And that's one of the things that I think absolutely matters because I don't want to get caught out with poor internet coverage. I do want to make sure that I can post content, take calls, have video calls, and even do work while I am on the road. And I can really get that done with the performance of 5G. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about here is when you're going through signing up to acquire a new phone and kickstart what's probably going to be a new plan, you need to think about how much plans have changed over time. The last time I've gone on an actual plan, this is the old days when I used to commit to a 24-month plan. We used to go 24-month contract and you pay, you know, $30, $40 a month and you would hope for the best. Telstra's changed things a little bit and it's important to go to their website and actually play through this. Now, with their phones, you can get the phone itself, the device, on a plan. So if you don't want to spend, say, $16.99 on getting the iPhone 13 Pro outright, which you can buy through Telstra, you can buy it wherever you like and bring your own phone. But you can actually choose to just pay it off in 12 months or 36 months if you think you're going to hold on to it for that long. At 36 months, you could be paying $47 per month to pay off the actual device itself. Again, you could bring your own iPhone. But then when you go to the plans, and this is where it gets really important to do your homework here. First of all, do your homework to have a look at how much data you currently use. And when you start factoring all those 5G speed tests you'll be doing out there, another thing to factor in. But you start to have a look and you realize very quickly that the contracts have been torn apart. And it's something that most people who have been maybe stuck on a contract for years and years have forgotten or not realized, that you can actually go month to month with Telstra. And their Telstra upfront mobile plans, here's a crazy deal that I've noticed today. For 180 gigs of data per month, I mean, 180 gigs of data, you could be streaming Netflix from sunrise to sunset and not really worry about the amount of allowance that you've got. You're paying $65 per month. Now, Telstra have that deal in place for the next 12 months. So if you sign up before November, you can start using that for the first 12 months. Now, the best part about that all is that if you don't want to continue on that plan for whatever reason, whether it's too much data and you actually would prefer to pay a lot less, or if it's not enough data and you prefer to pay more, you can absolutely do that. You've got this flexibility where there's no termination fees. There's nothing like that. You can get to the end of your paid month, and then the following month, you can go to a different plan. So if Telstra releases new plans in 12 months' time, you can just switch. You just don't do anything. You just go online in your thing and change your plan. There's no cost to do that. There's no termination fees. It's completely changed the game. I remember being stuck in contracts which you would die to get out of because it was nowhere near good enough, and you would wait with a little calendar in your hand waiting to see when you could upgrade, and it was just a nuisance. So head to the Telstra website and have a look at all those details. And just remember, think about where you're going to use your smartphone, what you're going to use your new smartphone for, and find the right network and the right plan to suit you. Personally, I've chosen Telstra. However, I know that there are for many different reasons why people may think they should choose another, but please, just do your homework. Now, let's get on with the show.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now, it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
All right, guys, we are coming straight out of the gate here with a jam-packed show. Now, first and foremost, my phone number. Do you want to text me? Do you have any questions? Anything about anything before or after the show or during the show? 0467-439-078. Should you upgrade to the iPhone 13? Text me. Let's talk about your situation. I'll try and help you out. Now, this week on the show, we're going to talk about a number of things. A new soundbar from Sonos. A new smart TV dongle from Amazon. We're also going to talk about new smart glasses. These aren't the Facebook ones, which there was outcry about. These are from Xiaomi, which, trust me, would have even more of a drama. But we're going to talk about them. What's a Hobot? Yes, Hobot. H-O-B-O-T. I'll explain what that is and why it's going to clean your windows. A foldable phone. Do you think we'll see one from Google this year? Apparently, rumors suggest that we will. And obviously, with iPhone 13 dropping, and, you know, someone like me who's not going to get one, I am grateful about iOS 15. So if you have an existing iPhone, trust me, let's do the upgrade together. You can start the update process while listening to this show, and I'll go through the new features, the benefits, and the things that I'm hoping to see in iOS 16, perhaps. So stay tuned for the entire show. We're going to wrap up all of the tech news and the new features to iOS 15. Let's get on with it. Now, it must be COVID or it must be some other reason, but Australians are certainly upgrading their homes, whether it comes to upgrading their televisions or even upgrading the sound in their homes. Now, one of the things I can tell you for sure is that a home theater is starting to become a bit of a norm in many households. As if you walk into a display village these days, you won't really see many homes being designed without a home theater. And one of the things that's critical to a good home theater is definitely sound. You know, you could have the biggest TV that you can afford, but if the sound is poor, the experience overall is poor, especially when it comes to enjoying some good movies. Now, Sonos have always had a number of soundbars that you could buy, whether it was the Playbar many years ago, the Beam, then the Arc, and now they've upgraded the Beam. It's effectively called Beam Gen 2. They haven't gone and changed the name or anything like that. In fact, they haven't changed the design of the actual product that much either. If you're a Beam owner, there's a pretty slim chance that you would need to upgrade yours. I don't think there's enough to justify it straight out. However, if you are somebody who's just out to get a new TV, wants more sound, but doesn't want to spend the price that the Arc has been pronouncing, you know, that's about $1,300. Sonos now have the Beam Gen 2. The Beam Gen 2, we're talking about $699 still the same price as Beam Gen 1. However, they've added some extra features. Now, what used to have a bit of a cloth finish around the front where the grill would normally be has actually been replaced by a more metal grill. I guess bringing the design more in line with the Sonos Arc in many ways, or even the Play 5 if you think about what that speaker looks like from the front, or even the new Sonos One. However, the Beam Gen 2 looks a little bit modern. I love it all in white. It is obviously available in black as well, but I just think the white looks amazing. A good friend of ours actually has the Beam Gen 1 in white, and when you walk into the house and you see it, you just think, God, it's a sexy speaker, because yes, it's a perfect size speaker to fit underneath any size television, but it actually looks good in the home if you're using it just for music as well, because it doesn't have a huge presence in the room. It just sits there quite sexy and it plays amazing sounds. Now, with the Gen 2, what they're looking at doing this time with updated internal components, they've added more speakers, speaker drivers and things like that to effectively help create Dolby Atmos sound out of such a small and petite soundbar. Now, obviously, to really create Dolby Atmos sound, you do normally need upward firing speakers. You obviously are going to need rear speakers attached to this as well. but it starts to really set the stage for providing 3D sound in your room by using psychoacoustics. This isn't necessarily using additional speakers mounted on top and things like that. This is tuning and intelligence within the soundbar to create that 3D sound effect that Dolby Atmos does provide. So big changes coming into the Beam Gen 2, especially holding that same price point. I'm super happy about this, and I've had the chance to talk to Sonos directly about this particular product and what it does mean for customers. And it just effectively means to me that at $699, this will probably meet the needs of most people. If you are kitting out a fully fledged home theater, yeah, you may want to go for the Arc because it is a much bigger speaker, it has more speaker drivers, and it can certainly fill a room a bit better. The Arc also does have the built-in upward firing speakers to create a more stronger effect of Dolby Atmos sound, but the Beam Gen 2 seems to have the intelligence and the technology to actually create that virtually. Now, I will be testing this and I'll be able to give you the real facts as to whether it is worth the money. I think it's $699 already. It's at a very good price point compared to others that I've seen from Bose as well. And obviously, let's not forget that LG and Samsung also make soundbars, so it's always worth shopping around. But if you think about multi-room audio, having music in the home, watching TV, and not having to put such a big unit into the house, the Beam is one of those perfect products that meets that need. And let's not forget, it still has the voice assistance built in as well, so it is your smart home speaker. So effectively, depending on where it's placed, it can actually do a lot of things for you, not just for when you're watching movies. So something to pay attention to. Now, speaking of TVs, a lot of people have relatively good TVs. They're not in the market to replace them, but it would be nice if they had all access to all the apps and the smart TV apps that everybody else seems to talk about, whether it's Paramount Plus, whether it's Stan, KO. Not every smart TV has the availability to access those apps. So how do you get those? Well, you can buy an Apple TV. You could buy a Google Chromecast. And then you've got the third option is the Amazon Fire TV. Now, there is a new one from Amazon. It's called the Fire TV 4K Max. I mean, what a name. Now, this is effectively the Google Chromecast for the Alexa smart home. So say, for example, in your home, you have Echo Show, Echo Dots, you know, Amazon branded smart speakers. Then this is the one you should get for your TV. If you've got Google devices in your home, then you should get the Chromecast. It's that effective way of thinking about it. Now, with the Amazon Fire TV 4K Max, it's a terrible name. We're still talking about $99. So again, direct comparison to the Google Chromecast with Google TV. It plugs into your HDMI port directly, just like Google Chromecast, but it does need its own power and it has the HDMI connection, obviously. It does come with a remote. Surprise, surprise, just like the Google one. There is fast access to Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, obviously. But there's also the Alexa voice assistant built into the remote control too. So this really is that perfect option for the Amazon smart home. And it's something people really should be considering. It's available from October 8th. And you have this beautiful smart TV experience in a box. And it's the same price as the Google Chromecast. So again, think about what you use most, who you're talking to in the home. And this could be the perfect addition to that. Now, after this, we're going to talk about smart glasses and then a Hobot. What now? That's right. We're going to talk about a Hobot. Now, since the beginning of Technology Uncorked, we've had amazing sponsors such as Navman, and I couldn't do the show without them. Their support means the world to me. I mean, I could do the show without them. I don't want to because it's a product and a brand that I believe in. Now, I've been testing the Pro T Series dual cam. You would have obviously heard me talk about this before, and I'm very excited that I've finally been able to get this thing mounted in the car. Now, I'm about to have a baby, and before you go and have a baby, before you even step foot in a hospital, you have to go and have a COVID test so you can produce a negative result. Now, the reason I love dash cams is this. I was waiting in a queue to get my COVID test, and there's a drive-through COVID test place. And you're sitting there waiting and you know you're about to get something shoved up your nose and down your throat. It's never a really exciting thing to look forward to. But the car in front decided to launch over, I guess, what looks like a log pylon while they were just driving and waiting, clearly not paying attention to the obstacles that we're weaving through as we're going through this car park, and decided to just mount a log. And I mean, it was a Ford Ranger, so it probably should have been okay with it. But this lady just didn't see it, hit it, and then thought she would just try and push herself over it. And this is why I love having a dash cam, because when I got home, I could pull that footage in seconds straight from the dash cam to my smartphone without even taking a card out of the dash cam or anything like that. And I could actually have a look at it and share it with people I wanted to give a laugh to. So this is why I have dash cams. However, we all know that the biggest reason to have a dash cam is that if something does happen to you, if something happens on the road and you need evidence, because hey, sometimes I'm the only person in the car, so it can be my word against theirs. Having that dash cam means that the argument is over before it begins. Who was in the wrong? Let me show you. You pull out your phone, you replay the footage that happened. You say, look, it was a red light. Hey, it was a green light. Look, I can see what you did here. Whatever it is, you'll have that evidence on your dash cam. So do check out the full range from navman.com.au. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I had reviewed the Facebook/Ray-Ban stories, and it was incredible to see the comments in the article that I wrote for The Australian, in the article that I wrote for Car Expert, that people were saying, Facebook, no way. I don't care what this thing does, how good it looks. I'm sorry, you got a Facebook affiliation with it? It's not for me. And I was shocked by that. I mean, I knew there was a angst towards Facebook, but I mean, are they really that bad? Turns out people think they are. And then a day or so later, Xiaomi, the company straight out of China, decided to announce that they could be bringing out their own smart glasses. And it's interesting. And it's very interesting because I had a look at what it does. And if we just drop our swords for a second, the Ray-Ban Stories is relying on your smartphone to share content. And it can, yes, it can take photo and video. And yes, it can play music to you and handle your phone calls. But that's it. It doesn't do anything. If you're wearing just the glasses, they're just sunglasses. And then Xiaomi comes out and says, we're going to make smart glasses that can effectively replace the phone. So you wouldn't need to carry a phone anymore. It would be your phone. It would be your camera. It would be everything. It would even be the display. The Xiaomi smart glasses have one lens which can act as a translucent display, meaning you can see through it, but overlay content of your smartphone. Well, of what would have been your smartphone. So when a call's coming through your right eye, you'll actually start to see vision that Elon Musk is calling, and you can choose to answer or to decline that call. Same thing with messages. They would pop up in your vision and you'll be able to use your voice to respond to that. Obviously, you can't type. You have to use your voice. And in the same sense, if you want to take a photo, you could do that, ask it to take a picture, or you push the arms and it would go ahead and do that too. So it made me start to wonder, would this be something that people would go for? Would people trust Xiaomi as their phone, as their everything that they're wearing, and it becomes a head-up display for navigation, that it becomes the way that you communicate with people? And what we even saw, and it's funny because I swear I could go back and look at what I said on Sunrise in terms of what the Ray-Bans could be in a version 2 or version 3, where I said it would make sense for those cameras to be used for things like facial recognition, for object recognition, and Xiaomi's commercial for their smart glasses showed a demonstration. Well, it was an ad. They showed a demonstration of the man looking at a menu. It was actually in English, and he asked for it to be translated, I'm assuming, to Mandarin. And it did that on the fly in the vision that he could see in his glasses. I mean, that's exactly what I think smart glasses could become. Do I want it to be Xiaomi that does it? Do I want to buy the Xiaomi ones as my option? I'm fascinated by it. I would love to know from you guys what you think. It appears that it could be coming to market. And if so, you know I'm going to be lining up to try one of them. As scary as it sounds, I would love to try them. I would be fascinated to see if I can actually go without my smartphone. Obviously, you wouldn't have apps on the glasses. I couldn't scroll Instagram or tweet something out, or maybe I could through voice, but the experience would be quite hindering, I expect. Well, I guess we'll wait and see. Will there be a backlash to the Xiaomi smart glasses in the same way that the Ray-Ban Stories was? You let me know. You know you can text me, right? 0467-439-078. Someone will make a jingle out of that eventually. Now, are you tired of cleaning windows? You know, those things that we have to look through, whether it's in your car or in your house? Well, not that long ago, I tested a robot from Ecovacs. I think it was Ecovacs, that you could stick onto your window and it would drive up and down the glass and, I guess, wipe it but also dry it as well. So it had these pads and it had these wheels, and the pads were wet, and it would literally drive itself up and down and across your windows. And it would also be using suction to adhere to the glass. It was pretty incredible. And then I hear about Hobot. Hobot's a very similar product. It actually has more coverage in terms of how much wiper or wipe it has on it, because the Ecovacs one, I feel bad if I keep saying Ecovacs in case it's not, but that was, I'm pretty sure, where it's from, had a wipe effectively that covered the perimeter of the robot, whereas the Hobot has what looks like twice the amount of coverage in terms of how much it can wipe in one go. Now, what's interesting here is that it can cover 1 square meter per 2.5 minutes, so about 80 seconds. Well, 2.4 minutes, about 80 seconds. And during that process, it does 2 passes, and it can go up, down, left, right, and still do all of those things. It still seems to use the same type of technology in that it does suck onto the window and then might move around and migrate, but it can also be much more controlled through your smartphone as well. So I think that's an impressive thing. It can run on a DC plug, which is fascinating to me. So yes, it can run on battery, which the Ecovacs one could do, but this one could actually run on power, meaning you could be doing massive windows and it not having an issue in terms of how long it will last. Because the risk of the battery powered one was that if it runs out of battery and you don't get to it fast enough, that thing falls. Because once that vacuum suction turns off, the thing drops to the ground. So if you live in an apartment, you probably want to use the powered version, because the battery one, yeah, you might be picking it up from the road, depending on how high you live. It could be a pretty serious problem. Now, it does look interesting to me. I'm tempted. Do I reach out to Hobot and get one? I think I'm going to have to. But if you've got big windows, you're tired of cleaning them, or it's increasingly difficult to clean them for a number of reasons, especially an apartment building where you actually can't clean the other side of the window, these robots can get to those spaces. If you've got huge gallery windows, which you would normally need a ladder to get to the top of them, again, this robot could make a lot of sense for you. So it's called the Hobot 2S. It's a fascinating thing to me. And I just wonder, who's going to buy one of these at some point? When is this going to be the one that people start to go for? I don't know. It's fascinating. I'm going to have to try one. I need a big enough window to make it really work. It just seems to think you need a big window. Otherwise, you're moving this thing after it finishes, a very small window. Kind of feel like you could just do it yourself at that point. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Would you buy a Hobot? Do you want a Hobot? It's $580, by the way. Did I tell you that? $580. It's a lot of money for some people. It's a lot of money. Now, the last bit of news here before we get into iOS 15 features is from Google. Now, we know that Samsung has foldable devices. They're doing it for a while. We know that Motorola made a flip phone as well. And Huawei had a foldable phone too, although it's kind of extinct in many ways. I mean, the brand, not the phone. But Google. There are strong rumors that Google will be launching a foldable smartphone. Now, we know that the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro will be coming. In fact, this evening I saw an ad for the Pixel 6 on TV saying coming soon. I mean, that's fantastic news. I'm glad. But what about a foldable? Apparently, it's very, very true that we will see a foldable phone from Google. And I'm excited by that. Because while I love what Samsung has done with the Fold products, they are so expensive. And I just feel that if Google does it, they might be able to get it to a reasonable price. And I'm sure there'll be shortcomings as a result of doing that. But I just feel that if Google can make foldable affordable, then we might all go and buy more foldable phones. I kind of went around in circles there, but you see where I'm going. Let's close the book on this. Let's all get foldable phones, but we need to make these things affordable for foldable phones. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have an iPhone, and I mean an iPhone as old as 5 years old, so if we think about iPhone 6S all the way up to iPhones of today, you can now download iOS 15. And you probably have received the notification to go ahead and do that. And you know what? You really should do it. You really should do it for a number of reasons. And first of all, I think people should always be doing app updates and operating system updates immediately. As soon as any of them are available, you run, you do those updates. I mean, first of all, it's usually got a whole bunch of security patches and loopholes that get closed up, but it also usually means more functionality. Now, not everyone can afford to buy a new iPhone every year. Heck, I'm not doing that. But what you can do is get that new phone feeling by doing the updates. Get iOS 15. And I can't believe it. The iPhone 6S, released in 2015, will be able to download iOS 15. It's crazy, but that's one of the good things if you do invest in an Apple device. Now, at a glance, let's talk very quickly around what iOS 15 can now do. It's got redesigned notifications in terms of how it looks and how it feels. Focus, and I really want to talk about focus because it's a very important thing that especially if you're working from home or even if you're just in a moment, you need to be thinking about using the focus feature. It's definitely going to reduce distractions for you. Spatial audio and share play in FaceTime calls. If you're a FaceTimer, you're going to love those features, and we'll talk about that. Text recognition in images. This is an interesting one, and I've been doing some testing with it, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. ID cards can now go into the wallet app. This is a great way of just making sure all your cards are in the right spot. And if you are somebody who has ditched the wallet, something you really will be loving as well. There's new privacy features, as you would always expect. That's going to continue to happen as Apple and as well as Google are having an increased level of focus on privacy. And obviously, we've seen some redesigns around Safari, around Apple Maps, if you're somebody who actually still uses that. It is getting better. It's just, for me, not quite what Google Maps is. It's got an improved weather app. Again, if you use the standard weather app, the Notes app has got some redesigns as well. So, you know, some really important things just from that introduction that people need to be thinking about. I genuinely think that it's so, I don't know, look, do the update. You won't be disappointed is my short, you know, too long, don't read type standard. Just go ahead and do that. Now let's talk about focus because I think for me, installing that becomes one of the most obvious thing. It literally is in your notification drawer. So when you pull your notification tab down where you could normally control things like, you know, your Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, whatever. There's a button now called focus. And when you press that, you can actually choose to filter notifications. You can signal to friends when you're not available and you can hide distractions without missing what's important. That's exactly what Apple says on the focus screen. Now, by default, you've got do not disturb, personal, work, and sleep. Now, Do Not Disturb, we've had that feature before. You know what happens when Do Not Disturb is on. You can choose to have maybe one or two contacts that are allowed through. Otherwise, it pretty much silences everything else. Now, when you do go into personal, work, or sleep, it allows you to actually customize what that means. So you can choose to have this turn on automatically. So say, for example, my work focus would kick in at 9 a.m. and it would turn itself off at 5 p.m. And during that time, there's probably a good chance that I don't want to be notified about Facebook, Twitter, Instagram notifications. I want them to be in the background, silent. Don't pop up, don't buzz, just do not appear on my notification screen. I'm trying to do my work. However, work emails, calendar reminders, those kinds of things, yes, I need that. That needs to be front of mind. However, when you think about personal focus, you know, if you go into that mode, which might be automatically kicking in perhaps from 5 p.m. until 9 a.m. the next day, personal focus means, you know what? I no longer want to hear about my emails, about someone sending me meeting requests for tomorrow. That goes away. But I do want to know about what's happening on Facebook, what's happening on Twitter, Instagram, and so on. You may even go down to the level that you say, you know what? I don't want WhatsApp notifications during work hours because maybe WhatsApp is a distraction for you if you're in group chats and so on. So using focus is really important. And you can also actually make more tailored versions as well. You don't have to just use the three that are in there, which is sleep, work, and personal. You might make one for the gym. Now, obviously, when gyms actually do open, this could be a huge benefit because what you'll do is you'll say, you know what, when I'm at the gym, all I really want to be distracted by is perhaps phone calls. If somebody calls, yes, let that through. But literally nothing else should come through because I'm going to be listening to music from my phone or a podcast. And if something is urgent, they can call. But don't let me know about SMSs. If it's not urgent, I don't want to hear about it. And that's a really cool thing to be able to customize and tailor to moments where you need it. Now, you might want to even set one up for while you're driving as well. Now, there is, you know, do not disturb while driving features on the iPhone already, but you may have a different type of mode that you want for that, where maybe only phone calls will come through even while it's plugged into Apple CarPlay, for example. So picking the right focus for the right moment in the day could really mean something that really makes something simple for you. And I just really recommend people go into that setting. Don't ignore the new focus feature because it's absolutely important. And obviously being able to share while you're away is great too because people won't necessarily just text you and never hear back from you. You could actually set it to auto respond. And I think that's an important thing to have. So go through, do the focus features. It's just really going to help you stay focused on what you need to do at work, or while driving, or in any situation that you're in, and not look at your phone unnecessarily. We spend way too much time looking at our phones, and I really do think if you can get away from that, power to you. Now, if you're a FaceTimer, you're going to love spatial audio. Spatial audio basically means that audio is going to feel like it's in your left ear, right ear, behind you, in front of you, on top of you. Now, this obviously depends on the person on the other side also being using that same feature as well, so that their microphones are acting in that way. And it does mean as well that they have to be using supported input devices such as Apple AirPods to actually capture spatial audio, because it needs it's a two-way street there. The other thing you're going to love is portrait video in FaceTime calls as well. So you can have that blurred background effect and obviously have your face in full focus and make sure that you look as good as you can. With SharePlay, it means that if maybe for whatever reason, you and a couple of friends, you want to watch something together, it's a weird one, but it can work. You could be watching something on Disney Plus together and sharing that moment where it's playing in your FaceTime call and you're all looking at each other's reactions to it. I don't know. I think SharePlay is a bit of a, it's a dumb idea to me. The big one though is FaceTime links. Now, if you're a FaceTime user, but you've got that one friend who's on Android, you can now invite them to join your FaceTime calls. It sends them a link. Now, this will actually also work with Windows. So if you send somebody a link, you could even just drop that link into a WhatsApp chat. If they're on their Windows PC, they could still join a FaceTime call. I mean, that will break the internet, you would think. But yes, FaceTime calls can now be joined from Android devices in a browser. So this is, they will receive the link, they click on it. It doesn't download a FaceTime app for Android or Windows. It just opens up in a browser and allows them to be engaged. There will be some limitations in doing that. They probably won't be able to do share play, but they'll be able to be seen, be heard, and most of the normal things that people do need when they're doing a FaceTime call. So I think that's a pretty interesting one. Now let's talk about this new feature in the photos. So first of all, I open up the camera app and nothing looks different. The app looks exactly the same. However, if I hold my phone, I've got a notepad in front of me and I focus on the text that I've got written in my notepad. A little icon pops up in the bottom right-hand corner and it looks like a page. You click on that and then it lifts the written content from your camera. This is live view. It lifts that content into your camera app, and you can then choose to highlight the text and then copy and maybe paste it into a browser, or you could paste it into the phone app if you've written down somebody's phone number, or you could, text it to somebody, whatever it is. And it will paste as though it knows the characters you've written down. My handwriting is pretty bad. I can read it, but most people can't. But I will say that probably in a sentence, about 3 or 4 letters were recognized incorrectly, which isn't that bad if I only need to make a couple of small edits on that. If I think about, simple notes that I have been taking throughout the day, that's a pretty cool way of transcribing that text into a real note or emailing it to somebody. But one thing that I do love, and I've done this before, I did it with an app called LiveScribe a long time ago, where you could write down a phone number on a piece of paper and then bring that into the app and then start dialing it. So sometimes you're on the phone with somebody, so your phone is pressed to your ear and you're just writing down on a piece of paper the phone number. Now you can just pull the camera out, hover over that, and then I guess click to dial effectively. That's a really cool thing. But you can also do this with existing images. So if you've got a photo in your library, you can actually now go back into them and you'll be able to highlight text in a photo. And it's very, very cool. So I've even got screen grabs on my iPhone from when I use the Echelon app. And there is a leaderboard on the left-hand side, which has people's names, their locations, and things like that. It's a really cool way of looking at people you're competing against, I guess, in exercise classes. And as soon as I go to that image, I can literally click and start copying that text straight out of the image as if it literally was a text that I could already do that with. It's quite freaky how fast it does that. You just start clicking on the screen, tap on the text, and bang, it does it. It's just really, really cool. And if you start to think about how it will also then do translate, so if you've got a photo of a recipe or a menu, or even if you walk in front of a shop and you don't quite know because you're in a different country what it says on the sign, you'll be able to use the camera to just instantly look at that text, scan it, translate it, and make something out of that. So a really cool feature. Yes, there are a lot of alternatives to that. There's been apps that do something similar, Google Translate is obviously one of them. The Google Lens is another one. So Android users have had stuff like this for some time, but it's now fantastic. This is just baked in to iOS 15. So a nice little change there. Maps, there is some new changes here. We're talking about walking directions. You can use augmented reality so you can effectively look through the screen of your phone to understand which street you actually should be walking down and so on. So it's good to see they're continuing to improve it. I'm not going to harp on that a lot because it's a map, it's a navigation app, and you can choose whether it's the one for you or you continue using Google. Safari has got changes. And again, I'm not a big Safari user. I do use Google Chrome. One of the biggest changes I can see is that the address bar is now at the bottom. And that may take some time to get used to, and I'm going to try and actually use it a little bit more. But yes, it means that you can actually now just go straight from the bottom to type your address. They've also got some privacy features now baked into Safari that is apparently hiding your IP address. So effectively, marketers love that they can usually track you from website to website based on cookies and so on. But now they're saying that with Safari, the privacy features effectively allow you to not just browse the web anonymously, but to do so in a way that marketers can't necessarily target you as you start to browse the web. So let's try and give you that more private experience while you're browsing to let you just be a browser and not someone who's got somebody looking over their shoulder. That's what Safari can now do. So that's cool, I guess, if that's what you're into. The weather app does look a little bit better, I'll tell you. There are plenty of weather apps out there. I don't know. It looks okay. It looks nice. It's weather. Some changes to health, some changes to Find My. I noticed that what's also really cool, if you now swipe left when you're just on the home screen, there is a big Find My section now. And there's a full widget to be able to find TV remotes, keys, find your car keys and so on. So if you've got more things set up in Find My, you better easily get them through. What is this area called? Is it called Spotlight still? The left swipe. You know what I'm talking about, where you've got your top stories, your small little calendar widgets and stuff like that. So there's quite a bit more banked in into Find My now. And I like that it's a bit more integrated. If you had your AirPods attached and so on, it will also bring that in as well. So look, some nice changes there. I do really recommend people jump onto this. Now, if you've got kids, who use an iPhone, having iOS 15 is even more important. We've spoken about this before. I think we've spoken about areas of this before, but if your child has an iPhone and they're set up as a child, they're not set up as an adult using an iPhone, meaning that you've also set up family share and things like that, which creates that family structure within the Apple ecosystem. If they were to receive images, if they were to receive inappropriate language in a text and things like that, there's a lot more flags that now come up from Apple around communication safety, around sensitive content, to ask you whether are you sure you want to view this? Are you sure this is somebody you know? Really trying to flag this sensitive material. And you can actually get alerts as a parent as to how many alerts is happening, what's actually going on your kids' devices. And this is something that Apple has baked in as part of iOS 15. An important one, if you have kids using iPhones, first of all, make sure you are setting them up as children, or appropriately for their age so that they're set up properly in Apple family, but also it allows you to have greater control of what your kids are up to and really help them get more sense checked about what they are doing as well. So important stuff there. So look, do the update. If you aren't able to go and buy a new iPhone, at least go and get the free download of iOS 15 and treat yourself this month. So it's exciting. It's exciting. I think the text translation one, or the live text in the camera, is one of my favorite features. But focus mode, yes, I know that's also on Android as well. But it dead set could change the way that you work, and it could change the way that you spend time with family. Removing distractions is so critical. And before, when you only had the option of do not disturb or all in, massive problems there. And yes, you can turn off notifications for individual things, but that was forever. Now you can have it really work. Just all of the time. It's a really nice feature. It's a really, really nice feature. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to this episode of Technology Uncorked. If you're listening to this on a particular day of a particular week very soon, there's a good chance I am welcoming a new baby into my life. And while that is probably one of the most exciting things for me this year, you guys probably care more about the tech stuff, and that's cool. We're going to keep doing the tech podcast. We'll still have my regular radio spots for anybody who listens to those. I'll continue to have stories coming out, whether it's on officefortomorrow.com or in The Australian, Car Expert, news.com.au, 7 News, Men's Health. It's everywhere and anywhere that I can be. I'll continue to do all of that stuff. I'm taking a month off from my official day job to focus on the family and to spend time with the new bub. And that's going to be obviously my number one priority. But yes, we'll continue to do the weekly podcast. I can't wait to continue to hearing from you guys and letting me know what sort of topics are up your nose, what sort of things you need me to start talking about. And we'll continue to do that. So stay tuned for more. We'll speak to you again next week. Stay safe. Look after each other. We are so close to coming out of lockdown. I can almost smell some freedom pie. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. And so is summer. Stay tuned, everybody. Speak soon. Bye-bye.